Hi, this is Dr. James H. Lambert. I'm here with Ligament Laxity Analysis. It's our first podcast, so we figured today we'd try to come in and get some questions answered for doctors that have shown a bigger interest in that. Today we have Dr. Bruce Burns. He's an associate of mine and a colleague, and probably has seen more, who's probably done more ligament laxity testing than at least any doctor I know in New York State anyway. So I figured we'd have him in here for our first interview. So, Dr. Burns, how are you doing today?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, very good. Thanks for joining us. If it's all right with you, I'm just going to jump in and start asking a few questions for you, if that's all right.
Sure.
All right, let's start off with the obvious one. What is X-ray digitation, or as it's commonly known, CRMA, computerized radiographic measuration analysis?
CRMA is basically the best way and most accurate way that you can measure ligament laxity or ligament weakness to your patient's spine, whether it's normal or abnormal.
All right. Is this commonly done after trauma, like in motor vehicle accidents and stuff? Is that what we're looking for the most part?
Absolutely. Definitely after trauma, your patients suffer not only soft tissue injuries to discs and muscle, there's ligament damage as well, and this is the best way to assess for the individual ligament damage to the spine.
Okay. What is alteration of motion segment integrity or loss of motion segment integrity, LMSI? We see that all the time in the literature now. What is that?
Alteration of motion segment integrity is when you have ligaments that normally hold your spine together get damaged due to some type of a trauma, and now there are weakening to these ligaments, so spinal segments can move forward and backwards. They can tilt up and down. So when you have loss of motion segment, there's some type of damage to these individual segments of the spine.
And these changes, they're measured in both translation and changes in angulation from one segment to another. Is that right?
That is correct. When you have translation deficits or translation impairments, that's basically telling you your spine has more movement forward and backwards, and there are certain standards that the AMA guides had set up. Anything less than 3.5 millimeters in the cervical spine of motion forward and backwards would be fine. Anything greater than 3.5 millimeters of motion would be considered a ratable segment. And in angulation, the same thing. In the cervical spine, anything greater than 11 degrees in an angulation deficit, meaning the vertebra is tilting up and down, would be considered ratable. And you could also do this for the lumbar spine as well.
All right. Now, and most of this is coming from the AMA guidelines themselves, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. What's the benefit for having this service done, you know, for patients of doctors that have been involved in a motor vehicle accident?
Most doctors in a clinical setting are very good diagnosticians as far as damage to a bone, damage to muscles, nerves, but they cannot assess for ligament damage. So by having this done, you can send your patient out for plain film x-rays, and this is one of the only ways that you can fully assess for ligament weakness to the spine.
So it's an objective test then. This is not just, you know, your opinion or something saying that it looks like there's a little too much motion here or something.
It's totally objective because you cannot look into somebody's spine to see how much movement there is. You need to have an x-ray which indicates flexion extension views to actually see this movement that's occurring in the spine.
So for the doctors out there, what views would they be taking to have this analysis done?
You would need to send your patients for a neutral lateral in the cervical as well as lumbar spine, and also have full flexion and full extension in both the cervical and lumbar spines as well.
And is there an optional study like for upper cervical involvement that can be done also?
You can do an optional study if your patient is experiencing chronic headaches or what you call cervicogenic headaches. You can do the open mouth view, which will show you C1 and C2. And if you have them tilt their head to the left and right while their mouth is open, you can see the translation of atlas moving left and right if there's weakening to the upper cervical ligaments.
Yeah, I remember back in school is that we were always told to do a Davis series post-trauma. But that Davis series at the time, if I remember correctly, this include an AP open mouth and not a left and right lateral bending. But I can see where it would make sense, to see if there's excess motion at that segment at C1, C2. Is that correct?
Yes. If you don't have your patient putting their spine into flexion extension or left and right head tilts, you're going to miss weakening of these ligaments. Neutral position, you're not stressing the spine. You need to have the spine stressed in order to actually see weakening of these ligaments.
All right. I was told, I remember back years ago, I was told that you shouldn't take the x-rays until in the first two to four weeks of care, because spasm and inflammation can sometimes hide the findings of excess motion in the cervical spine. Is that true?
It's true, but you, as the doctor, have to know your patient's findings. And if you're taking x-rays and you see virtually no movement in flexion or extension, yes, your patient could be in spasm. So you might want to repeat that study in a few weeks when you've controlled their spasms. So then you could truly see the spine moving due to the weakness of the ligaments.
So you've had doctors that have sent you patient films to analyze that have been done a few days after an accident, as well as a month or months after an accident. Is that right?
Absolutely. The ones that have done a few days afterwards, sometimes I'll tell that doctor, let's have you repeat the study in a few weeks. You're not getting enough flexion or extension on the views. So when a couple of weeks goes by and you can control some of the patient's spasms, you'll be able to see if there's any weakness of these ligaments that we're looking for.
I've had doctors tell me, is that wouldn't you have to have like a doctor or somebody in the x-ray room actually like pressing down on the patient's head, to get the full flexion or pushing back into extension, to be able to show the alteration of motion. That seems kind of strange. That's not true, is it?
No, you don't need to have somebody pushing down on their head. I mean, they're in enough pain as it is from their trauma. So if you have the patient flexing their head forward and backwards by themselves, you should be able to see enough movement. If there's weakening of these ligaments, it will show when they flex their head forward and when they extend their head backwards.
I would think that I wouldn't want to volunteer for that job anyway getting exposed to all that radiation for each and every shot.
So yeah, definitely me.
That didn't seem to make too much sense. How about if you shoot your cervicals at 40 inches versus 72, can you still get the analysis done and get the x-rays analyzed?
You can still get it done. When the analysis is done, we do indicate whether your films were taken at 40 inches versus 72. So the computerization analysis of the report does take that into account and does not, enable you to, inhibit, you getting this test done.
All right. Yeah, it sounds good. On the reports that I've seen that are positive for an alteration of motion segment integrity, the report states that there is a 25% whole body impairment. Where does that come from? What is that based on?
It's based on the AMA has the guidelines set up that if there is more movement to the spine than there should be. And like I said earlier, it was 3.5 millimeters in translation in the cervical spine, 4.5 millimeters of translation in the lumbar spine. So if it's greater than what the AMA has as their guideline, that gives you an impairment. Okay? And an impairment obviously would be considered pretty drastic finding in a patient who's sent for these films.
Yeah, for years, I think, after we've been in practice for a few years, we see the results of patients that have been in motor vehicle accidents and have had significant whiplash injuries and know that those patients generally a couple years down the road are ending up with significant arthritic changes and, you know, chronic, turn into those chronic pain patients that end up coming back into the office off and on over the years. And, so I guess we've all known that there's been a, you know, a significant, that there's a major significance to those injuries. But up until we've been able to do this type of testing, we haven't had a, I guess, a really good objective way of showing the significance of those injuries. Is that true?
Yeah, besides an MRI, there was no way to find out what was wrong with your patient. You took an X-ray, you might look for a fracture or non-fracture. An MRI gave us the ability to look at our patient's intervertebral disc. Now with the test here of the CRMA, you can actually find weakness of ligaments that you couldn't assess for years back. So this is, and it's a measurable finding. So you can determine within millimeters how much movement your patient has, you know, once they've been in some type of a trauma. So it becomes a very good tool for you to use to help, you know, treat your patients. You can understand why are they still getting these headaches when I've been treating them, you know, for, you know, weeks and weeks or months and months, and why they're not getting better.
I would think that any doctor, you know, chiropractor, orthopedist, whoever that sees a lot of post-trauma patients, you really have to become like a ligament expert after a while, because when you get down to it, you know, it's the ligaments for the most part that get injured. The disc, you know, by definition is a ligament, you know, connecting bone to bone. So it makes sense for us to look and make sure that we know exactly what we're dealing with, because of the potential complications of not knowing for the patient, and the fact is so we can get right down to an accurate diagnosis, so we know how to treat the patient a little bit better. Just an aside, does an impairment rating have anything to do with a disability percentage?
It doesn't have a direct correlation. However, you never have a disability without having an impairment. Okay, impairments are how it affects your patient's life outside of work. A disability are relates of how an individual can earn a living or work, you know, at their current job or any other job. So they kind of do work hand in hand.
Okay. When I see the impairment ratings, it's based on the AMA guidelines that we've already talked about. And we see it also listed DRE category. What does the DRE mean?
With DRE, you simply look at the diagnosis or level of chart that the AMA guidebooks tell you how much that condition will affect your patient's life. And basically just telling you how much this is going to affect the quality of life.
Okay. Yeah. It can be pretty significant. So I know they give it a, you know, a pretty high rating. That's for sure. Is the procedure, is this analysis, is it under any other sets of guidelines besides like the AMA guidelines themselves?
Yes, there's a couple other guidelines. It's listed in the ICA guidelines as well as the CCP guidelines. You know, to name a few, there are, you know, few others as well, but it's definitely listed in other guidelines other than the AMA.
Okay. Why is this procedure needed as a means of diagnosis? Why are doctors sending you these films to be analyzed?
It's another way to accurately diagnose your patient's condition. Just like you would send your patient for an MRI to see if they have a herniated disc, you need to send to find out. Well, you need to find out if your patient has weakened or torn ligaments. So you need to have their film sent out for this analysis.
All right. Now that we have an analysis that's been done, how are the findings on that report? How are they going to get utilized to modify the patient's course of treatment?
Once I've analyzed a patient's film, the doctor will get a report of their findings. And basically, you take these findings and you alter your treatment plans. You know, if a patient has weakened ligaments, you might not want to do more manual manipulation. You might want to add more therapeutic exercises for stabilization. You know, each doctor, you know, you'll have your own way it's going to affect your patient's treatment. I'm just giving you the result of this test. And basically, each individual doctor will take it and see how they can change or alter their treatment plans, especially if your patient is not responding to the treatment that you're doing. And this would be a great tool to help you decide what you want to do, add, take away from your current treatment plan.
I guess with something like this, it's like the worst case scenario would be maybe to you have a patient that's been in an accident, not do this test, do an MRI, see that there's, maybe there's a disc bulge or, minimal disc involvement. And then maybe a couple of weeks later, let the patient go out, or go back to athletic activities or go back to doing his normal routine, and then get subjected to a trauma to a joint that's already been damaged. And then, and then have to explain to the patient why they weren't maybe, sent for this test that would have accurately seen something like this. That's something that's always in the back of my mind anyway, if you don't test, you're not going to find it. If you do test, if it's there, the clinical findings are there, and if there is damage there, the test is going to pick it up. You're going to see it, and both you can sleep at night, and the patient is going to get the best care from the doctor that he's seeing or she.
Absolutely.
Seems pretty straightforward to me. The X-ray findings from digitation, can they be determined using manual techniques? Like, can I put these X-rays up on a view box like we were taught way back in, for me anyway, 31 years ago and 32 years ago in school, and mark them up and get the same analysis that you're getting by running them through through your computer?
That's a great question. Yes, you can put them up on the box. However, there's going to be a couple things wrong with that scenario. One, the AMA guidelines called for digital interpretation of plain film X-rays.
So it doesn't carry the weight. It doesn't carry any weight.
Correct. So it has to be digitally analyzed. So it has to be done, by computer. And second of all, when it's done by computer, there's only a 3% error rate in your findings as far as your measure of instability versus a 25% error rate when you do it manually. So that's a big difference, for a doctor who wants to just put them up on their view box and, measure out all the angles and translations by themselves.
Yeah, I guess when we're talking about measurements that are less than 1 millimeter at times, and knowing to be able to tell the difference from that, the days of just putting a wax pencil on there that's a couple millimeters in itself are gone. So
yes, absolutely.
All right. So I've listened to all this now. So what I'm walking away with is that you can't see this ligament damage on a plain film on the X-rays itself. Is that right? You actually, none of us are, because I know now I sent out for MRIs, and even most of these MRIs can't even visualize the actual tearing of the ligament. They may see some swelling around it, maybe some hint of some tear in some fibers of a ligament or two, but it's not giving a visualization. So I know the X-rays themselves are not showing the ligament, the torn ligament itself. But tell our viewers one more time, just what the X-ray is showing then at this point.
Think back to your anatomy. You're taking the X-ray, one, initially to see any type of fracture of the spine. So you're seeing the bones. Now, we all know that ligaments are what holds bone to bone. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if you have some type of tear in a ligament, you're going to have one bone moving more than another bone. So what you're looking at are basically the results of, or the effects of, torn ligaments have when you do some type of stress X-ray. You're seeing the mobility of the individual vertebrae. You're not seeing the ligaments. You're seeing the effect that these torn or weakened ligaments have when your patient does their motion.
A lot of times, I'm doing some review now on some X-ray stuff that I haven't seen for a little bit. And what I've seen is that a lot of times you're not seeing the cancer as well on an X-ray, but you see the effects the cancer has on the bone, the periosteal reaction, the remodeling, and stuff like that. So I guess if you can think of it that way, it's the effects of that tearing of those ligaments are having. You can visualize that, and because we have something like the AMA guidelines that have established this as the authoritative figure in diagnosing ligament damage, that's why we do it. So, for those listeners out there, the any doctors out there that want to send films to ligament laxity analysis, what's the procedure for that? What's the best way to start?
One of the easiest ways to start out is contact our office. I could send you out a whole packet, but basically, whether you take the films in your office or you send to the radiologist office, get the proper films taken for your patients. Get the neutral lateral, get the full flexion, get the full extension, cervical and lumbar spines. If they're having those cervicogenic headaches, make sure you get the open mouth in neutral position, as well as with the left and right head tilts. Once these films are taken, let our office know. We can either upload them directly from most radiologists' website, or you can send us your films and we'll digitize them for you. That way we can upload them to our program. If you have a digital machine, you could basically put everything on a flash drive and email us the films. And then once we have all of that, we just need some patient demographic and insurance information, and we could get all your films analyzed for you.
And the analysis is done and sent back to the doctors. It takes how long to get the test back generally?
Basically, it'll be 2 days.
2 days? Sounds good. That's a great turnaround time. Well, I definitely appreciate the time you spent here today with us. It's our first kickoff of this podcast with ligament laxity analysis. We wanted to get the information out to doctors. For those that have questions, have asked us a lot of the same questions over and over again. I guess it's a good way to get the information out there. So thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And thank you for listening to us here today. And this is the first of many in the future. And if you have any questions, you can reach us here at the office at 631-738-8300. And we'll be able to get you started. And if not, be able to answer your questions and get you rolling. Look for future podcasts, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.